keeping you up to date on the world of social media. Industry experts, innovators, creators, storytellers, and the latest social media tools, tips, and tactics. This is Social Media News Live.
Welcome to Social Media News Live. I'm Jeff C., and you're not.
And I'm Ian Allison Gray, and this is the show that keeps you up to date on what's happening in the world of social media.
And today we are joined by Adrian Salisbury, and we're going to be exploring creating community with cohort-based courses. So we are going to cover what is a cohort-based course, because I had no idea. What's an evergreen versus a cohort-based course, with the difference between the two, and tips on building community with cohort courses. So, Adrian, I'm so glad that you're here today. Thank you so much for being with us, even with all the craziness that's needed to try to figure out what we are doing.
That's great. It certainly relaxes you at the start anyway, too. Yeah. Okay.
See, sets
the tone.
Yes. So I'm hoping it's all uphill from there. So if you guys don't know who Adrian is, he's got a background in photography. He has now shifted his attention to teaching online through his four online courses, including the eCam Live Academy, which has now helped over 1,500 eCam users master the tool. So he has a knack of making technical things simple. His courses are loved by all, and he's about to open the doors for the last time this year, and we're going to talk about that a little bit later. So, Ian, do you have a question for our guest here today, because you're up next?
Well, yeah. I'm really interested in your background, because you did photography. This was your main thing.
Yeah.
What made you decide to move from photography to teaching online courses? You know, tell us a little bit more about the path that got to where you are today.
The story way back starts really with me finding Pat Flynn and listening to his podcast and just getting this idea for this passive income, making money while you sleep, you know, that kind of, I'm thinking, yeah, I'd love that. and in fairness, it was kind of years of trying different things. But actually that my journey really, yes, as a photographer, constantly, I think it's like a lot of people with a skill really that people come to you, and we'd constantly have people coming up to me going, I just bought this new camera. How do you set this up? Or why do your photos look like that? And you constantly realize you're giving out this information, and you just think, actually, I could put this online. And it kind of started from there with a YouTube channel. I actually created a photography course. Then I went to try and promote it and market it and realized, oh, it's not as easy as you think it is. Got into James Wedmore's Business by Design group and was surrounded by other people going, how come your video looks so good? Then I kind of pivoted and went, all right, well, this is pretty straightforward for me. Let me teach people how to do video. And that was actually the journey for me starting my Pro Video Academy. So video isn't my background at all. I never intended to be online teaching this, but I think just keeping an ear to the ground kind of thing and going, all right, there's an interest over here. This is something I can do, and started like that. So that was really my start online with courses. How I added, and how, as Jeff said, we got four courses now, really came around that we go, okay, we've now got people looking good on camera. They're feeling more confident on camera. And then I'm mentioning eCam, and people are going, yeah, I think I've got eCam somewhere. And I'm going, you got to be using this. And so I created the eCam Academy, and the same with YouTube, that we definitely found everyone was, not everyone, the vast majority of people when I'm speaking to them as customers was saying, yeah, well, that was where I found you, was that video you did on YouTube, and just realized the power of this as an online shop window, really. Mm-hmm. And then it went from the final of our academies is the Kajabi one, where people were saying, we love your course, how do you do this? And we went, right, well, let's show them how to do this. So they all kind of sit in a little cluster around each other, that it has really all come from us paying attention to our customers. And if they're asking, if more than, you know, two or three people are asking us the same question, we go, well, maybe there's an academy there. But I promised my wife no more academies coming. This is it.
So that's really cool. So, you know, Ian, I'm a little nervous now because I think Adrian's probably silently judging our camera setup because he sounds like, oh my gosh, I need to go through his course. But, you know, I was ribbing you a little bit beforehand, but Elisa, I mean, come on. She goes, Ian's already been down to the pub. So it's, I don't know if that's true or not. But anyway, so we're talking about today.
It's Friday.
That's right. We are talking about cohort-based courses today. And yeah. I think... I've never been heard of them, being called this before. I'm kind of familiar with them, but I didn't know how big of a rise like it is. It's coming. So instead of like, and here's some news that we found. Like instead of like convincing a college professor to teach in their spare time, they're talking to like product managers at a tech startup to launch classes, sharing their tips and trade secrets. So Mighty Networks actually raised $50 million Series B to help its creators launched their own classes, and another one called NASS Academy raised $11 million. There's another one that's called Maven that launched. It didn't even have a name, and it got all this funding. And they're saying EdTech is really moving and really becoming popular for these cohort-based classes. And, you know, all this EdTech stuff is coming out, and they're talking about a creator economy and that – as long as you're an expert, you don't have to be a teacher and all this stuff. Mm-hmm. So, I even doing this research, I found out there's a graduate biomedical sciences program at St. John's University that they just graduated their first cohort based, class about this. So this stuff is on the rise. So Adrian, what is a cohort based course for those of us who don't know?
Yeah, and honestly, it was actually one of my customers who came to me and had seen an article about this cohort-based courses and went, this is really interesting article, this is what you do. And I looked at it and went, oh, it is. So we were doing it before we knew there was a name on it. The difference really, and I think for me, the difference, I know you mentioned earlier, we'll talk about the difference between online courses really and these cohort-based courses. And, you know, for us to create, let's talk about our Ecamm Academy as an example. We could create this and you could go and buy it and sign up and work through the videos on your own and go, yeah, that was great. I've learned a lot in that. Thank you very much. The difference of this and that what makes this a cohort-based course is it's still the same video content, but we do it live. So actually we're saying, right, this starts, well, it literally does start on Monday. It starts on Monday. Day one, you're going to get a set of videos released to you. And then I show up on a live at a set time each day. And we go, right, okay, this is today's training. Go and do this work, post into the group here. And then I'll be back here tomorrow to answer any questions and talk to you about day two. And so we work through like that. It's very structured. We run it across 5 days, building up in levels as you go through it. And then the way we run it is we have a second week then added onto it that is really just a chance for people to catch up and practice and interact and work together. We're talking about Ecamm. We're talking about them interviewing each other, things like this. So it gives them a chance to go, you know, hey, Jeff, are you free to jump on an interview? Let's have a go at this. And there's something so strong about it. We came into this actually not expecting to run them this way. I started this up very much in partnership with Katie from Ecamm. And we said, let's just run it through. And before we put this online, let's run it through live with people and get some feedback, see how it goes. We were blown away, really, that the majority of the feedback was saying, we love the way this is run as a community. We love that we've made friends in here. I said to Katie, we need to keep this as live events rather than just putting this thing online evergreen. And we get a lot out of it. And I think those that are in there definitely do. You know, it's, I think if you're running through this on your own, you're going to have questions. And maybe it's, if it were an online course, maybe your access is emails that you can come back to a coach. But the difference here is, yeah, you're kind of right in there with it. And me that's made the videos in this case, I'm on a live. You can ask me a question about what, you know, module 1.3 was on about, and I can come back to you and we can go deeper in. It's just this live element to it, really, of working through together, all on the same page, that I think really builds these strong connections.
Yeah. Very interesting. And Sabrina actually has, she's so awesome. Thank you, Sabrina. She is kind of, always giving us definitions. And so she broke it down for us like a cohort refers to a group of students that entered a program together and remain together through this its duration. And we're going to talk a lot about some of the advantages and some of the disadvantages of this. So it's really, really interesting. So Ian?
Yeah, I was going to ask you, so like, I love the fact that there's, that you got the videos, you got the live element.
Yeah.
Do you kind of get them to do homework with cohort-based courses? How does that kind of work? How do you get that interaction?
Yeah, so I take it more as challenges, really. So each day I'm saying, right, today's challenge. So they get a block of videos. It might be 8 different short videos that they've got. And the last one is a summary. And it's, right, so today's challenge we want you to do. So for instance, in Ecamm, day one's challenge is just going live to yourself as like an unlisted video to get used to that delay. And you can kind of log in from your phone and things. So each day we challenge people. Day two is going live for real. Day three is interviewing and so on like that. So yes, there's homework. It's not enforced, but some really love it and get on board. The downside is with some of that, that you do get people going, oh no, I'm not keeping up. right. So that's kind of a tension sometimes to, we're always saying, hey, look, this isn't a race. You've got, the thing is the videos that we produce and that are being dripped out each day, they've got access to those for life after this. So, you know, some people sign up with good intentions and then life happens and they suddenly can't manage to get on or don't get to give it the time they hoped. Well, they can still come in and access it at any time. And again, although we're talking about this in our case, like a 2-week live event, the actual Facebook group that holds the event, they've got access to for 3 months before we archive it. A lot of folk will keep going there kind of weeks later and go, oh, I've now had a chance to really go through this. And can someone come on an interview, for instance? Okay.
So they actually, so just to be clear, they have access to that for life, the video content and, you know, but the archive, it gets archived after 3 months, kind of the community aspect of it.
Yeah. So you couldn't post anything new into the group or go live into the group after 3 months, but you can still access all those live videos from the daily sessions.
Cool. So I want to kind of step back a little bit because, you know, we talked about this is a kind of a new thing, you know, and I think it was like 2008, 2010, somewhere around there, you know, the online, like video, you know, your courses on demand where you could go like the Udemy's and all those kind of things. But this is really becoming super popular because of the community aspect of it. But I read some articles and there's been some worry that, you know, like turning creators, because a lot of creators, this is very exciting for them. And turning them into educators could bring on a rush of like unqualified teachers with no understanding of like how to teach. And, you know, there's a group that says, you know, the democratization of education, it needs this disruption. And then there's other ones going like, hey, you know, we need to have real teachers teaching. So what are your thoughts on, you know, these kind of two camps? Like you need to have a professional teacher who has gone through school to know how to teach. And then it's like, hey, Ian knows video, he's going to teach a class. So, you know, where do you fall on kind of that?
I love it, to be honest. I find it super exciting to think that, I don't know, my plumber or someone like that, who actually is doing really well at what he does and is constantly having people saying to him, oh, how do you do this? And that he can actually put a course online and help people. I'm not qualified. I've never been to university. I wouldn't be here doing this. But I know I can help people. And I think if that barrier were there that made us go, oh, I shouldn't be doing this because maybe I'm not qualified enough to do it. I think, there's a natural ability. I'm always helping and I love kind of jumping in as soon as whether it used to be with cameras and I'd see somebody there taking a photo and I'd be like, oh, you shouldn't be holding it like that. And I want to get in there and help them, you know?
Right.
And I think, I don't know. To my mind, I think time would tell, really. If you were showing up and you were promising this amazing course on Facebook advertising or something, and actually you didn't know what you were talking about, I don't think it'd be long. The internet's so transparent, isn't it? Mm-hmm. It wouldn't be long before people were going, that's a terrible course. You know, don't go on that one. It's partly why we cover our sales pages and testimonials as well, is we know that we've now got that evidence and that backing that I can confidently go, look at all these people that have said it's a fantastic course. So I wouldn't want to put barriers there. Mm-hmm. I think it's lovely that, you know, I think it just, opens this up for anyone really that's got an interest in doing it.
Yeah. So, and Sabrina says, real people, real experience. And I think that's really great. One of my favorite YouTubers, and you may not even know him, Adrian, is Roger Wakefield. You mentioned a plumber. He's a plumber.
Yes. Yes. That's right.
He's speaking right now in Dallas at Video Marketing World. And I love the guy to death. And he is genius. And he has blown up on YouTube teaching people what he knows. And, you know, he didn't go to school to be a teacher, but he creates incredible content.
Yeah, ultimately, if this is coming from a place of, I want to help and serve people, it's a real shame to think of putting a barrier there to say you're not good enough to be able to do this because you haven't been taught the right way. And actually, you can get some really good styles coming out of this. I'm sure the likes of Roger would teach very different to an academic who'd been through university and taught, you know, and actually you might come and be really refreshed that this is a different style of teaching. And people will grow based on how well they're doing with it, won't they?
Yeah. And Gary goes, how could you not love Roger? Yes, that is very true. he is great. I know you had some other questions too about cohort courses.
Yeah, I was going to ask a lot. Why did you choose the cohort? I know you didn't know it was called cohort. Why did you choose that model instead of like another kind of model out there? You know, what got you to that conclusion to launch that?
I think real just testing and seeing. And I think, as I mentioned earlier, we were expecting this to be an online course originally. We got so much feedback from people saying this is really refreshing, this the way we work through this together, and I've made friends here, and I feel like I've, you know, I know you. And actually we went, there's something in this. And we've been challenged a few times by people saying, why don't you just make this online? And, you know, I can access it today. I don't want to wait till 2 months' time when you open the doors. There's definitely challenges for it, and it is a temptation just to make it available all the time. But in this one where you're learning something and just to be able to work along together, time and again, we're getting great feedback about our academies. And this is the thing that I think stands out and is different, that it is this cohort-based style,
I guess, you know, one of the things I was going to ask about, so how broad or how wide do you go? Because I know, you know, you're talking, like the one we're talking about today is a lot about Ecamm. Do you go into like, hey, you can switch the cameras with the Stream Deck if you hit hook up right? Or do you talk about cameras? Like we're using the Canon M50. I know Ian uses the same thing. Or are you just sticking with like the software? I mean, because you could go like, it's... Yeah. Forever. I mean, on stuff that you could teach.
I know. No, we've kept it. And because I already teach another course, which is my Pro Video Academy, what we do, this is an Ecamm Academy. So it allows us to kind of put borders to it really and say, no, we're teaching you the software of Ecamm. So this isn't particularly a live streaming course, although obviously we're giving tips and things and advice on how to do this. This is really, and this came really out of a conversation with Ecamm of, I was wanting to create some videos. They were wanting some support videos to be able to put on their site. So it actually came out of, let's help Ecamm customers to really get to know the product. So it gave me very natural boundaries really as to where we go with it. But we do start from, you know, and it does grow up sequentially through the days to start out really at literally the first video is unboxing it. And we do say, you know, if you've already unboxed it, you can skip this one right up to day 5, which is Stream Deck. It's restream and multi-streaming and all these different things, going out to Zoom and other ways that you can use it as more pro features. So you don't have to watch all the videos. Some people might skip over the early ones. Some people might skip over the advanced ones, but you've got this library there that you could come back to at some point in the future. If maybe you're not doing Zoom now, but you want to, you know, it's there in the future type thing. Well, you've got a library.
Yeah. So, I mean, you talked about testimonials at the beginning. What have been like your students' response? And based on that response, do you change the next, like, do you tweak like the course? I mean, do you like, oh, that was horrible, throw that out, you know? I mean, how much do you like change between classes that come in?
Yeah, we did initially, well, actually, the first time we ran this, or the first of these courses we ran, was actually our YouTube one. And for instance, I showed up then on these daily lives thinking, right, well, I need to now walk through and I'm going to show people exactly how to set up their YouTube channel. Realized it was really hard work to be sort of, while I'm going, where's that image I just want to drag across? And actually people were saying to me, we've already got this in the videos. You don't need to do this on the live. You know, can't we just do question and answers? And I was like, yep, that's a good idea, actually. So I don't try to. So that would be an example of coming from that, really, that we now go. And this is, as another little term for you, a flipped classroom. This is the idea that actually you do the work in your own time. So I send you an email that says, right, there you go. There's a set of videos for today. You go and do them. And then the time that we spend together is actually like Q&A, and it's just pulling out a few people as examples and we discuss around that. So yeah, that's kind of how we're coming at it.
Very cool. So Ian, let's talk about, you know, so we've talked about, you know, what is a cohort course, because, you know, I think a lot of us are familiar with it, but we didn't know that term.
Yeah, that's exactly where I was. Yeah.
Yeah. And so
I'm like, oh, this sounds like a cool name.
But I mean, it's really, when you start digging into it, it is flipping things on its ear when it comes to what's coming up and all this investment and the pandemic, you know, all the stuff that's gone on. So Ian, kind of break down, like, the, you know, I know you had some questions about the evergreen and versus the cohort courses.
Yeah. Well, it's really interesting because I've created both evergreen courses and cohort courses. And in some ways, like the evergreen course, the off-the-shelf course, you know, you talked about this before, Adrian, that, you know, you people have asked you to, why not like make the Ecom Live Academy just like videos that people can download? And there are pros and cons. But I mean, I don't know if you've heard of this phrase, like massive open online courses. Have you heard of that? It's a new phrase for me. A MOOC. And these like traditional institutions, you know, I think they're built around the belief that students want to learn from accredited teachers, while many cohort-based platforms are forming around more, you could say, controversial yet compelling ethos that anyone can become a teacher. And it's interesting, we're looking at some stats here. Apparently, India's edtech industry is poised to become a $30 billion space in the next 10 years. And that was a report released in April this year by a transaction advisory firm, RBSA Advisors. So it's clearly huge. And, you know, we're looking at between $2.75 billion and $3 billion. So I looked at the difference between evergreen and the cohort, and in some ways, like, it seems a lot easier to do the evergreen. You just create it and you bung it up there and people buy it and that's it, and it's, and you can relax. But what are some of the disadvantages of the cohort model versus the evergreen, or learning at your own pace? Tell us a bit more about that and what your experience has been.
Yeah, I hear you. I think from the coach's side, it would be a lot easier to put this up and just let people work through it. I don't kind of like, you know, someone's just bought my course and I'm sitting there kind of a few days later thinking, I wonder how they're getting on. I hope they like that, you know. Right. Maybe I overthink it and worry about it. And I quite like that interaction that I get when I know they're working through with me. From the student side, yes, that might be that they need to get going with it and they just want to learn it and they don't actually want the group. They don't want to show up and do the discussions and things, just give me the content. Absolutely. And it's not out the question, actually. We are kind of looking and playing with this even next year. Do we make a version available that you can consume online, but then if you want to pay the extra, you come and do the live bit, or, you know, so we're playing around with it, but we definitely know that benefit of coming through and being in live, just from the feedback that we get time and again, they're seeing other people and they're sparking other ideas off people as well. And it might be that for instance, we had a lot of churches come through COVID that we were in our academies, and someone over here is, I'm struggling with this, and somebody else in the group's able to go, well, that's what you need to be doing, and this is what we do over here. Oh, that looks really good. So that we sit back sometimes, and they're talking and chatting and helping each other. And again, it's a lovely feeling to think we've brought all these people together from the other sides of the world that probably would never have connected otherwise. So there's fors and against really, but I wonder if maybe the answer is kind of offering two packages there, really, that you can say to people, go through it on your own. But I don't think you seal it in. I've bought plenty of online courses myself and I still haven't gone through them. I don't know about yourselves, but, you know, if there's not that accountability, and I'm not kind of thinking, oh, everybody else is on day three, I need to catch up a bit here. I don't know. Maybe, I guess different people are wired differently.
Well, it sounds almost like yours is almost like, you know, it's a cohort based course, but you have the advantages because it lives there forever of that evergreen. Yeah. So you kind of have the best of both worlds.
Yes. That's what we've tried to do really. Yeah. That if someone can't make it, and of course there's time zones as well. Mm. And we've been blown away that we've had people that are on the live going, it's 2 a.m. here. and I'm thinking, really? I wouldn't get up at 2 a.m. So there is that as well. You know, it does. There probably are folk in Australia that are going, oh, well, the times of those lives are middle of the night, so this doesn't work for me as a course. Mm-hmm.
So a lot of people have said, like Sabrina says, people need community. And you mentioned this more than ever. Yeah. So many people have live and work alone and they long for interaction with humans. Yes, that is very true. Yeah. And our friend Tim Sloan goes Ecamm Live Academy with Adrian is amazing. So, and then Carmen
Tim
says,
Tim was an example of this. Actually, we're telling people to go live into the group. And Tim came in on, I think, the second day with a live. He was upside down and talk about grabbing attention, you know, he's like hanging from the ceiling doing this live into the group. And so Tim will always stick in my mind.
That sounds like Tim. So he says he's had some conversations with people that aren't interested in the community. They have less time and just want to learn. That's interesting. I think it's where people are at. And, you know, I know a lot around here, it's really, you know, people are really wanting community. One of the things I wanted to talk about is like, so I have I'm friends with Kim Garst and we talk a lot about courses and she has a ton. She's been doing it for years. And she has said, you know, the completion rate isn't really high for courses on demand. So why is it higher for these cohort based courses? Is it peer pressure? I mean, is it like Ian's ahead of me. I can't let him win, you know, are they more stressful for students? I mean, what are your thoughts on that?
I think there are definitely some people that are wired like that. Even when we're kind of opening the doors to the thing and I've got people going, what time's the email coming out? That it's, you know, and they're like, I've got to be the first person to join. I think there is some, I don't think that it's not in a negative way that it's a pressure to keep, but we definitely do have people saying, oh, you know, I'm falling behind a bit, but as I've said, you know, we can catch up on that. Completion rate, I think it's just this feeling of, maybe it's more about I don't want to be left behind, or I don't want to let people down, that, you know, there's others on here. But I think we definitely see more, I think because it's maybe it's smaller bites as well, that it isn't like we're dropping 40 videos on you, a complete overview of Ecamm. It's like day one, right? This is the basics. We're getting started. We're going to understand scenes today. Day two, you're going to go live for the first time for Facebook or YouTube or LinkedIn. Day three, you're going to do an interview. So it's kind of more manageable bite-sized chunks. And I think, just really works through. Maybe that's the answer. But definitely we see a much higher completion rate coming through this than we would do. As I say, I've probably got 5 online courses that I've bought and I've maybe watched the first video or two and I haven't gone back to them since. And I keep meaning to, but
Dustin says,
think as well, you're like, I've paid for this and I know that Adrian's, you know, I'm not going to get his feedback past next Friday, you know, when this fortnight's gone. That's the value. I want his feedback. I want to be able to bounce this around. So I am going to do the work and get it done. And we deliberately, originally, this was a 1-week course. The training, it lasts over 5 days. but I didn't want people to either feel like they'd got to the end and they hadn't had a chance to finish it, or they got to the end and they'd got questions. So this is why we tagged another week on, where no extra training gets thrown on them, but it's their chance to go, all right. And I kind of go, right, go and have the weekend, enjoy the weekend, and then let's come back on. Why don't you set yourself a goal next week? Maybe you didn't do an interview, or you'd like to really get good at that, or you'd like to really kind of dial in your branding and things. Have a go at it, practice it. We're here for you. And I'm still there on the daily Q&As to kind of steer people on.
So that sounds like they're also paying almost, they're getting access to you. And that's one of the big things too, is you get access. Instead of buying a course, like, you know, no offense to Amy Porterfield, she's amazing, she's got great courses, but I don't get access to her. I get access to her knowledge, but when it's doing a live in this cohort space thing, and they can ask questions live, and I think that's a big, big value add. In fact, like Dustin says, peer pressure for the win. That's why he loves CrossFit. I like to watch CrossFit while I'm eating a Big Mac, but go ahead.
Jeff, I was just going to say, actually, when it, personal connection, I mean, certainly at the start of COVID, we were locking this down at 250 people, and we were actually turning people away who were going straight onto a wait list. We found ourselves May last year kind of almost doing back-to-back academies. And the reason I was saying, I don't want someone to come in here and feel like we've got 500 people plus in this group. They now can't get access to me, or they can't get heard on the lives. So yeah, we've deliberately guarded that and said, you know, we want to keep this relatively small and intimate, or as much as you can do, to guard that. So that would be a good tip, really, to make sure people aren't just kind of having 1,000 people arrive in a group, and then they never are going to get seen or heard. Yeah,
that's a great point. That's a great point. And so Carmen says the accountability helps a lot. So yeah. So and
Carmen's another one who's been through.
Yeah, and Carrie says, I like the mix of cohort courses and recorded. Yeah. So that's the thing, is I love, like, even some conferences I've seen now, it's like they said, you have access to it all live, but then it's gone. And I'm like, that, I don't want, I want to be able to have a chance if I have to go up, get up and go to the bathroom, which that's why I switch cameras all the time, is, you know, that I'm able to do that. So anyway,
Jeff, this is why I don't actually teach really on the lives. You know, I don't, and I've been in other people's courses where I show up on a Zoom call, for instance, and I'm actually following along live, and I'm going, well, hang on a minute, where was that? I just lost. And then it's kind of, I've lost the rest of the video. Mm-hmm. Whereas I'm trying to keep that and do really keep, I've got no agenda really for the lives typically going into it. It's completely led by people's Q&A. They've already gone away. Some people say, you know, I put you on 1.5 times speed because you're too slow. Other people go, I've had to watch it 3 times and I finally understand what I'm supposed to be doing. So it gives you that flexibility, or like you say, to pause it and just, you know, have it up at the side of you. You got ecam the other side. Okay, let's just see that. Then let's carry on. And then you come back with your questions and we cover that on the lives.
Very, very cool. So Ian, I know you had another question.
Yeah, I kind of think that cohort courses are like procrastination busters, because like we've all bought those courses and like done the first video and then given up. But I think we all need that handholding. But like one thing I'm interested in, because I'm creating some cohort courses at the moment, or kind of thinking about my next one, and the thing that I'm struggling with is, what is the optimum length for cohort courses? Now it's going to be different for every course, I'm sure, but like, how do you work that out? Because in Ecamm Live Academy it was 1 week and then you extended it to 2.
Yeah,
how do you work that out? What's the optimum length?
And we get this a lot. We, as I say, one of my other academies is my Kajabi Academy, and it's people that are in there that are trying to create online courses, and they're getting this, you know, is this, I'm struggling to get this into a week or 2 weeks. This really should take a month. Or I've got other guys that go, this is a year-long program for the work that you need to do. So it really does depend on what you're trying to do. I think what you're trying to achieve with people, being realistic of their time as well. I think you, and for me, I'm kind of looking and I go, actually, this splits quite nicely into 5 days. I think there's a manageable, you know, there's maybe an hour's work for someone to go and off and do each day. We do get some people go, come on, I want to get onto the green screens. And I'm going, no, that's Wednesday, hold fire. there are others going, this is a lot to fit in. So you just got to weigh that up, really, and you're never going to please everybody. But I think one thing I would say, Ian, is definitely having that buffer at the end. So whatever you think, whether it's 3 days of training that maybe you've got 2 days to practice afterwards, or maybe you, if you felt like this was actually you were going to fill a week, and what is it that you're teaching people? What are you sending them off to do? Is there a case for coming back in a month's time for a catch-up? Mm-hmm. So I think it's different in everyone, but the more kind of interaction and touching points really with people definitely builds the connection, and they're going to come out feeling a lot happier at the end of it. We actually find we've got a lot of customers who, and this was never particularly our intention, we have a lot of people who come out of our Ecamm Academy and then go, what else do you do? I mean, literally have people going, what else do you do? Because I want to come on more of your trainings.
That's good. That's great.
And then they're coming on to other ones. Yeah.
That's really good. So that means you're a good teacher. So,
well, hopefully. And you just think that wouldn't happen if I hadn't showed up, hadn't really put everything into it. One thing actually is a bit of advice on this is, I mean, I've never performed or, been on stage really, but I guess the same thing happens. You put a lot of energy into these lives, and it's actually... it takes something out of you. And I find that after doing 2 weeks of daily, sometimes two a day, fitting in with other things as well, I can get to the end of this and I'm just drained. And it can take me a few days to pick myself back up again, really. I mean, I don't know, Ian, I know that, you know, you're probably used to, you get the same thing when you've been on stage or something as well. And I would just put that in as a bit of a warning for people, just to make sure you carve out a bit of space for yourself after this. Because it can really take some energy.
Yeah, even after a Friday show.
Very wise.
Yeah. It's a lot of times, like when I switch to Ian, I take a really quick cat nap a little bit, just kind of close my eyes for a little bit. So the question I wanted to ask is, so, you know, really popular online is like 3 or 5 day challenge or like go live for a month, those things. So what are the difference between cohort courses and like the challenges, because those are super popular as well. Can you use them together? Yeah. I mean, what are the differences between the two?
Well, I would argue, I think that a 5 day challenge kind of is a cohort course if it's done well and done right. You know, you're potentially doing exactly the same as we're doing and dripping out some videos, jumping on lives. I think people tend to put less into it, in the sense that maybe on that 5 day challenge, you've got like a 15 minute instruction and it's not really, you know, it's just, it's a smaller win at the end of it, I think, isn't it? And inevitably someone's doing it as a promotion, maybe as an alternative to a webinar, and you're expecting an upsell at the end of it. whereas when I do my course, yes, I do have other academies available to people, but it isn't like an obvious, right, now come and join the full package. Mm-hmm. So I think with a cohort course, an online course like this, you're buying it, you know what you've paid your money for it, you get your live training and things as well, you get to the end of it and you go, fantastic, that was excellent, thank you. There's no kind of strings attached, or I think, you know, that's why we do challenges, isn't it? And we are actually looking, wondering whether this might be a good, knowing that the thing about our academies is the community, I was talking to Katie the other day, actually, whether there's an idea for next year to almost do a day's taster of it and say, come and join us for a day and experience what this like, and then kind of promote onto it.
So that's what I was thinking. It'd be like a funnel. Like you could do a 3 day challenge that would lead into like, if you like this, we're going to dive deeper. Here you go. We did.
Yeah.
So Kim Garson and I did like called it a Pinterest Palooza, and we did it was a 5 day, we were showing them how to make video pins, and it was just a challenge. And when they were done, they asked for a group. They said, can we pay you to keep this going? And I was like, really? Yeah. So we scrambled and put that together. So, I mean, I think those kind of, you know, you show you give value and they get something at the end of it, then they're naturally wanting to maybe go on to the next thing.
I think if we were shutting the doors at the end of 2 weeks and saying thank you, bye, there would be that same kind of, oh, but we want to, you know, can we keep this open for a bit longer? The fact that we've got it open for 3 months, they can still carry on the next day if they want to. It's just that you don't get me kind of doing daily lives and answering questions and things. So, yeah, I do think that, you know, it can absolutely lead on like that.
By the way, if you haven't figured this out, we're all fans of Ecamm here, and that's they're a sponsor of the show, and you can find out more at socialmedianewslive.com/Ecamm. But we've been teasing it all day today that Adrian's got this great course that you can get at Ecamm Live Academy, and that's ECAMM Live Academy for you guys listening on the podcast. So go check that out. That starts next week or this week?
Yeah, it starts on Monday.
Okay. So you got a little bit of time to get in. When does it, when do the doors shut? Like, when do you shut them? Do you shut them on Monday?
Sunday night, really. Okay. We've had a few people, because the first live is at 5 p.m. in the UK here. So, you know, now-ish. There is chance for people to come in. It just, Rachel just moans at me because it means she's got to manually add people in and things. The automation doesn't work anymore once we've cut off on Sunday.
Right.
But yeah, we don't turn people away, but at the same time, we don't want you to miss out on it. So if someone came partway into the week, we would probably say, let's come in the next one.
Mm-hmm. But this is the last one of the year. So if you're interested.
It is. And actually we're changing things around next year, where we've been doing it every quarter this year. We're only going to be running it twice next year, which is why I say we are wondering, do we need to offer something as an online in anticipation of it? But we do have a whole load of videos out there on YouTube anyway, and potentially 40% of the academy is already there on YouTube anyway for free. Mm-hmm. So we deliberately do that. It's there to answer your questions, and that's when really you're coming back in then to the community itself to have the chance to ask me and others and see how other people are putting it together.
Yeah. So make sure. So we've got even people in the comments going, go sign up right now. 6 stars. So you got a fan club telling people to go in there. So, yeah.
That's me. Can you see me? Can you not hear me typing?
Yeah, you're typing to the other. That's right. In the comments. So Carrie goes, this is a great point. She goes, the paid challenge I did recently was valuable, even though we knew they'd be talking about their membership course after. There was no pressure and only mentioned at the end. So yeah. So even the challenges, even if people aren't going to buy, they can get value from it. So,
and I think doing it, I would certainly come at those challenges rather than trying to skim over the surface of something and have people going, well, come on then, I haven't really learned anything. I would rather go deep on a, you know, that initial chunk really that people need to go through, learn that bit first, and then let it naturally lead on to what you're teaching afterwards. Some great value. I'm not knocking 5-day courses at all. I think it's a fantastic way to get started. But yeah, to me, as a difference, when you do a cohort or your online course, there is no, or not necessarily, an upsell at the end of it. You know what you've bought. You've had your training.
So let's talk about this in this final segment about community, because that to me seems like it's the biggest part of the benefit of, you know, the cohort based courses. One, it's ending and you kind of are done with it and take a vacation. But it's very, very, it's becoming very, very attractive for creators. So one of the articles that I read said, like, traditional platforms like Instagram, TikTok, Twitter, there's this division that happens between, you know, these activities that are, they want to monetize and those meant for community building, and said, you know, all these creators are giving away all this valuable content and then they have to monetize with like brand partnerships or these low margin merchandise, you know, that kind of take away, like you have to sell a t-shirt at the end of your YouTube video, kind of takes away from community building. And so they were talking about that we've kind of reached the post-content age, that, you know, content is no longer scarce in education. You can go to YouTube. I learned how to play the piano. I'm learning how to, you know, carve, all this stuff. You have all this free or low-cost content, and it's abundant. And they were saying that you don't have to be an expert teacher, just an expert on something. And so the question I have for you, Adrian, is with so much content that's free, why will someone pay for a course? Is the community the added value to it? Is that the biggest thing? And that's why it's becoming so popular?
Yeah, I think It's not necessarily that. I mean, that's specifically in a cohort-based course that you get that connection with the instructor. I think people would even, to an online course, jump from the kind of YouTube videos, really. And whether it be that it's just structured in a way and suddenly, you know, yes, I can jump on and, if that's wood carving, for instance, I maybe can go on and find a video on it and then I go and find somebody else and I'm kind of missing the bits in between. Or actually the beauty of coming through a course and it all just tells me everything I need and it all just walks through. There's value in that for sure. And for some people, I don't want to waste time going around on YouTube listening to 10 different opinions. I like this guy, I want to see what he tells me type thing. But yeah, for the cohort base, that next step up, absolutely. There's inevitably, I watch YouTube videos and I spend a lot of time on YouTube learning new things. And I want to reach out and ask the guy a question and I might put a comment, but it's rare that you get an answer. If you do get an answer, it's probably a month later. It's not the same as being in a space where I know that instructor, that coach is going to show up in a few hours' time and I can actually post in the group or I can ask a question and know that he's going to hear me. Mm-hmm. And what I really like, and I think as a tip really for using Ecamm and this kind of thing, is as you're doing here, Jeff, you know, calling people out, because it actually, we get to kind of put people on a platform really. And you know, when Dustin there, for instance, I can see in the comments says, hey, David, you know, this to actually call out and go, hey, Dustin Zahn, great to have you on here. And it does a lot of good for people. And I think you get a chance to do this that actually someone goes, oh, wow, that's, you know, the coach over there, he spotted me, he heard me, and I was important. And I think we underestimate how powerful this can be just to reach out to people and build this connection and just show them that we're normal humans.
Yeah, I agree.
How do you keep the class moving though when there are people all learning at different paces? You mentioned before, Adrian, that some people are like complaining that you're speaking too slow or too fast, but sometimes people will be saying this is maybe too easy for me or too difficult. Like how do you cope with all of that? It's really difficult, I'm sure.
I know. And I've been told I have a gift for kind of keeping things simple, and I kind of take that as I'm a bit of a simple guy myself, you know. And I can sometimes listen to some of these guys, Doc Rock, for instance, doing his techie talk on things, and I'm like, yeah, I don't know what you're on about now.
That's true.
So I kind of know my level, if you like, and I think I'm. This is why I think for me it works really well. Same with cameras, you know, I can get totally lost when I listen to some people talking. And I think if that's how your video comes across, you're attracting a different audience to me. So I kind of know where I'm at. And I am at that level of, you know, an expert, competent, but I can kind of talk in a very simple language. And I do tend to, you know, when I'm putting this together, I'm thinking, right, I'm imagining that this person is sitting alongside me, actually. When I first start off with a new academy, how am I going to teach this? Where do I go? Right, well, let's imagine I'm here with this person. What would I show them, like with Ecamm? Where would I walk them through? What bits would I say are key things to pull out? Does this come before that? And so I put it together that way. I'm keeping my ears out, really. And if I spot that someone on the live is saying, I'm feeling a bit overwhelmed by this, I've learned that we don't get into real techie talk. You know, it's easy to get lured in and someone's trying to talk about setting up their Stream Deck and things like this. And someone's going, what's a Stream Deck? I didn't know I needed one of them. And so that's the beauty of the live and just reading that chat really and keeping an eye down there and going, yeah, okay, keep my eye out. There's someone there who's getting a bit lost. We're getting a bit techie, or I've been a bit too long on one person here. Let's move away to this one. I think the videos work, Ian, in the sense that you can watch it a couple of times. And there's comments on each of those videos as well as coming into the group. So if I spot that a few people have gone, wow, I got totally lost in that video, or I had to watch it three times, then we go back to that video and go, all right, what do we need to do to change this video up? But we really haven't. I've never had anybody come through that's gone either, this was too hard, I want my money back, or we've had some advanced people that have come through and said, will I actually get anything out of it? And they might not have learned new techniques, but they've watched other people doing lives and designing things and hearing how they're using it and gone, okay, I hadn't considered that. That's a good idea. And even just for that, they've said has been worth it. So, I think how you balance that, I don't know.
Right.
For us, it's just kind of worked, and we've kind of aimed at that. We want to make sure no one gets left behind with it. It does sometimes mean that you've got a few people going, come on, I know all the basics, but right. I do just... And this used to be with photography as well, though, that I would find someone, you know, with a decent SLR cameras going, oh, I don't need to know those basics. And actually, when you start talking to them, you realize they actually do need those basics, or maybe they've learned a style or from someone that's missed out something over here. And I think for all of us, it doesn't hurt us to go back and just have that quick reminder and a recap and pick things up that we probably assume we know and we don't.
Yeah, it's interesting. So like Kim Garst and I, when we were doing our challenge, we would go and like, hey, what we were planning, we're scrapping that. And we're having to, we're like, we need to talk about this because they're really getting hung up or we didn't go deep enough before we need to do that. So I think that's important too. In fact, it's really funny because one of my friends who went through that, Pat Mills, she says, right, Jeff C., I've learned everything I know about marketing media and social media from online courses and mini courses. And, we were talking about community and, Dustin Stout, who I met ages ago at Social Media Marketing World. Same with Ian. We met at Social Media Marketing World. It's a community. And Rob, I've seen him, Rob says, hey to everybody popping in. I met him at conferences. And so community is super important. And I think that's one of the things we're talking about here. But what happens after it's over to that community? You said you archive it after 3 months. Do you find that they go and start their own group, or what happens? Because I know I would hate not being able to connect with Pat, Dustin, maybe, but other people, just kidding, Dustin. but I would miss a community. So do you have people pushing back? Please don't close the group.
We do. And it's really hard to know the best way to do it. And we could just have one group and every quarter we add more people into that same group. The downside of that would be, we suddenly get to day one's live and all of those people that have been in previously are also on there as well. And the new people don't get a chance to get a look in. So that's why we've gone, no, we're going to have a different group each time. We've had, one or two people that have said, oh no, we really want to do this. We also have people that come back through. So what we make available, and again, it's just the way we've done this, because people have got the training for life, they can come back through as an alumni at half price just to come and have the experience again. And we've got some guys that have just come time and again because they go, we just love being around you and kind of the community side of it. Mm-hmm. So that's a way to do it. I don't know about you, but I kind of think with these things, I want to leave on a high and I don't want to be slowly numbers disappearing, over the coming months and things until I'm left with a handful of faithful people. It's a bit like being at a conference or an event and you have that feeling of, oh, I don't want this to end, but it's going to end.
Right.
I quite like to think that we actually leave people, we do leave it on a high wanting more. That whether that be coming onto one of our other academies, we've always got an open community Facebook group anyway that people can come and join and be part of.
Gotcha.
It's hard trying to listen, and you could go, oh, go on, let's just keep this going.
Right.
Yeah.
I get it. Yeah, because they want to hang on to each other. So we got a few minutes left, and I'm going to kind of jump ahead, Ian, on some of these questions because I want to make sure we can cover these last two and give Adrian plenty of time to talk about some other stuff. But I want to know, why did Ecamm do this? Isn't this a big expense? I guess they have to have Ecamm to go through the course, but still, it's a really, if you think about the amount of effort involved and the amount of, setting up the courses and all the training, it seems like a small number is moving through this. So it's a big expense to me. And where's the ROI? And I know a lot of people are asking that, and a lot of businesses ask that.
For Ecamm, this costs Ecamm nothing. This is not an official, it's not an Ecamm course, it's mine. So the way this came about, I'd actually approached Glenn and doing an interview with him, and I'd said I wanted to create some Ecamm videos for YouTube. The conversation kind of went, you know, Glenn said, well, actually, we've been asked for some tutorial videos on our pages. And so we came up with some back and forth, really different ways of doing it. Do I create a course and give it to them? Do I take it and run it? So this is completely my Ecamm Live Academy is mine.
Gotcha.
So it's a win-win. It really is. But, you know, Ecamm now get training for their team. So Ecamm will promote it. So for me, that's a huge win. Ecamm will push this out to all of their email list and say, you know, we get great feedback from this. If you really want to get to know Ecamm, you should come over and join Adrian's course. And then I do all the training, if you like, for free.
That's awesome. I mean,
I'm very happy because I get then this flood of people that have come recommended from Ecamm. So it's and I say this in our Kajabi Academy all the time. You know, I think the whole working with a brand or someone like this, that actually you can take this training and this, not a burden off of them, but, you know, this, they want to get on and sorting out the software. But if they've got someone over here that's sitting prepared to train people, and then you're able to have enough of a connection with them that they're sending people to you and it's recommended, I think it's a great way to go.
Yeah.
So, we haven't been able to do that with YouTube yet, but that's
right. But that's a great idea for when you think about brand and training you want to do is reaching out to, you know, the people who actually create the software or the service or whatever. It's a great idea. So Graham says, joining this late, but we use Ecamm to deliver our lives. And along with our Kajabi courses, we couldn't have done it without taking part in the Ecamm Academy. So you got fans coming out of the wazoo here. But Ian, so Adrian, talk real quick. We're right at the end of the time. Like, where can people find you? What to sign up and all your courses and everywhere they can find you online?
Yep. Well, the key one at the minute, or the big one at the minute, is this Ecamm Live Academy that starts on Monday. That's definitely our flagship. It's the one we've had the biggest praise from, really, of people coming through it. So that starts Monday. Come and join us over there. If you head to that link, there's a page that will show you all about it. And actually, it's full of testimonials as well, video clips from people saying what they've thought to it. And then if you come to adriansalisbury.com, you will see all of our academies up there. There are links to all of our social platforms as well. So that's kind of the hub, really, the signposting. If you head over there, you can go to any of these academies.
Awesome. And for the people listening on the podcast, it's Adrian, and the last name is spelled Salisbury, adriansalisbury.com. So make sure you check out all his courses. Ian Anderson Gray, you do a couple things online too. Tell us where people can find out more about you.
So you can, my website is iag.me, and that's, you can listen to my podcast, the Confident Live Marketing Podcast, at iag.me/podcast.
Yes. And we are also a podcast as well. So you can find us on all the podcast players, Google Play, Apple, Stitcher, all those things. Our next show is October 22nd at 11 a.m. Eastern Time, 10 a.m. Central. And you can always find us on Facebook, LinkedIn, YouTube, and Amazon Live. Thank you guys so much for stopping in. Thank you, Rob, Graham, Carrie, all of you people asking great questions in the comment. I hope that you guys got a lot out of the show. Feel free to mention your friends. After Adrian dropped all this knowledge, it's just been amazing about cohort courses. Now I'm thinking about having to create another one. So thank you guys.
That's the curse of it.
I know it is. It's all these great guests. I'm like, oh my gosh. So thank you guys so much for watching. Thank you so much for Ecamm for being a sponsor of the show. You can find out more about them at socialmedianewslive.com/oops Ecamm, right like that. We'd love for you guys to go check that out. And with that, we'll see you guys next week. Bye, everybody.
Thank you. Bye.
Social Media News Live.